Hey, you want to bring in newsmaker, U.S. Representative Chris Pappas on this Monday morning, GMI Studios, 1st Congressional District. How are you, Congressman?
Good morning, Jack. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Where are you starting the week? Are you here or down in D.C.?
Well, I'm about to catch a flight at Manchester Airport in a couple hours, so I'm still in New Hampshire, but headed down to D.C.
Well, let's start with some of the business in Washington. You know, a lot of people, unless they're insiders, get a little confused with all the news going on recently with Afghanistan. And, of course, right before that was passage of the infrastructure bill. And Senator Shaheen and Hassan have been talking a lot about that, how it would affect projects here in New Hampshire. And then, but it's going to need House action. And then, of course, there's the $3.5 trillion spending blueprint. And what's the process with all this? And there's some debate whether some moderate Democrats want to consider the infrastructure bill before the overall package. Speaker Pelosi has different thoughts. Is, you know, this gets confusing. It's very legislative intense. There's a lot of money there. What's the process? Where's all this at?
Well, we got to get the infrastructure bill done, and we actually have to get it done before the end of September, or we risk a lapse in highway funding coming to fund critical projects here in New Hampshire and in all the other states. So that's when surface transportation money expires, and that's why there's some urgency here the next 2 weeks to make this happen. This bill has been vetted. It's overcome tremendous amount of obstacles along the way. It got nearly 70 votes in the U.S. Senate, and it's going to stage significant investment for roads and bridges and water and broadband over the next 5 years. It's going to create a lot of jobs and really be good for New Hampshire, for business climate, to put people back to work. So right now, we believe we have agreement to get a vote before September 27th. And we're going to hold our leadership to that. We've got to get a vote on this bill, as they have indicated, before September 27th. And I believe if that comes to the floor, you're going to see a bipartisan majority come together to pass it.
Congressman Pappas, do you think it should be all done at once, or the infrastructure bill first and then look at the $3.5 trillion? I mean, Senator Manchin of West Virginia's had concerns about the size of that. I guess he's in favor of cutting it, maybe even by two-thirds. Then there's debate on taxes that would go to pay for that. Do you have concerns, for example, on the $3.5 trillion, on some of the new taxes it would take to pay for that, affecting small business owners here in New Hampshire?
Well, we haven't really seen the bill come together yet on this so-called reconciliation package or the Build Back Better bill. But the infrastructure bill is ready to go. It's vetted. So I think we need to pass the infrastructure bill first and then see what's on the table in terms of the conversation. Our committees, we're working on some of the components of the reconciliation package. We were able to secure about $15 billion to improve VA infrastructure in the Veterans Committee. I think that's really great considering there's a significant backlog. Our transportation committee came up with some priorities as well. So I've long said, let's put it on the table. Let's see where we can build consensus. But that's going to take more time. And since there's some urgency around the date of doing infrastructure, let's pass it now and move on to the other work that Congress has.
Representative Pappas, you mentioned the veteran affairs. Are there any important veteran updates for New Hampshire veterans in general on care? And we have Kevin Forrest off on Manchester VA regularly. They're trying to in-person appointments are back, and they're obviously doing a lot virtual still, but we do hear from veterans, especially on the emotional side, trying to expand some of the private sector therapies that are available for some of the emotional anxieties or PTSD with certain veterans, different ages. But any veteran updates?
Well, I think this is a concerning time for veterans, for those who served, especially during the post 9/11 years. We just saw the 20-year milestone of September 11th, and that brings back a lot of memories for our country. It was a time in the wake of 9/11 where we were able to pull together, and so many stepped forward to serve. And we have to make sure that we're meeting their needs as we move forward. And I've urged the VA to be proactive in reaching out to veterans to make sure that individuals aren't getting into crisis or, you know, might not know about the services that are available to them. And we're going to continue to work with our committee to make sure that VA is moving in that direction. So that's where our focus has been of late. But look, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. There are questions about how booster shots roll out. So we want to make sure that, you know, vets get access to those shots when they are able to through VA. I think as we, continue to do our work, we're going to keep the needs of New Hampshire's veterans community front and center.
Representative Pappas, I want to ask you this. You mentioned referred to COVID. reference COVID and of course, the variant. We're seeing a lot of, you know, more younger people who may not have been fully vaccinated getting more sick than others. But there's a lot of moving parts to this. But one of the things that's interesting in New Hampshire is we have Governor Chris Sununu in the state send a letter to the Biden administration's federal government may challenge the Biden vaccine mandates that the president announced recently, for example, on businesses of 100 employees or more, or just about the vaccine mandates. Governor Sununu is encouraging people to be vaccinated, but not in favor of that national mandate. Are you?
Well, I think the vaccine rules, as they have been presented, impact a number of different sectors, and they're sensible because the more that we can get people vaccinated, the better off we're going to be, the less we're likely to see another variant of COVID develop that maybe will continue to confound, you know, vaccination and immunity levels that folks have. So I've been fielding a number of questions from businesses in particular. We haven't seen the details of the regulations from OSHA, and so we've been relaying any questions and concerns as they develop those rules to make sure they're done in a way that will protect public safety but also be responsive to the needs of our Main Street businesses. A lot of questions around, you know, what does it mean when they say 100 employees at a business are going to have to comply with this? What do the testing regulations look like? Are seasonal employees counted? So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered as these regulations are drafted, and right, we're going to continue to try to communicate that to OSHA and other federal agencies that are involved in this. But I think if we can all, you know, continue to stress vaccination, if we can, you know, take these steps as a country, we're going to be better off. And I've talked to a lot of folks in the private sector, in the medical community, who are welcoming these vaccine rules, and it appears that, according to opinion polls, the American people support it as well.
Right, but as a business owner, you have a family. Before you ran for Congress, you managed and helped run a pretty good sized business. Is a private employer, is that something that should be left up to the employer, or if they have 100 or more employees, you're okay with the new, I guess, the mandate, if you will?
Well, I've heard from some employers that they think it's easier if the government puts in place rules that won't have to you know, require the individual business to create a policy on their own. It will be sort of an across-the-board thing that everyone is operating under the same guidance. But I think, you know, businesses are interested to see the details of this, and so I think it's going to take some time for OSHA to put together these rules, and I hope they do it in a way that recognizes the urgency of the public health crisis but also is responsive to what businesses need and puts in place something that's going to be workable for them.
Representative Pappas, we'll let you go as you head to D.C. today. Beautiful day, plenty of sunshine. Before we let you go, of course, you know, midterms are not that far away from a political calendar point of view. Last time you were on the program, I think you said you'd be in Secretary of State Bill Gardner's office filing with I think what you said, the intention to run again in the first district. You're the incumbent, and you, but also, then maybe it's complimentary. Some analysts say that they do not think you'd rule out a run for governor if the first district, if there's some redistricting and you and Governor Sununu, for example, were not running for a fourth term as a Republican. Have you ruled out a run as a Democrat for governor in the midterms?
Well, look, as I mentioned, I'm really committed to the work that we're doing in Washington. We've got a lot at stake here, not just with infrastructure, but we're talking about issues like the debt limit, the full faith and credit of the United States, funding government, National Defense Authorization. So, you know, there's going to be time for a campaign, and I don't think my answer is going to be much different from the last time we chatted. I'm really committed to the work that we're doing, and I want to continue to get it right over the next few months and hopefully keep doing that for another couple of years.
Congressman Pappas, thanks for joining us. Safe flight. Joining us, Good Morning New Hampshire this morning. We'll get you back again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Be well.